least to keep an old friend.
Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about this particular dish that Chazal describing. We originally got into this discussion concerning those brachas, but in the context of those brachas, we also commented about the kashas of this particular food, and this opened up a whole world for us in terms of multiple issues related to those kashas. The Gemara was discussing this dish of hummus sauce. Let's pick it up again on Daf Lamed Vav of the days. It's in the middle-sized lines, about four lines up from where the super duper wide lines, at the end of the line. So the Homer Rava, Hai Humusa de Asri Behindui, Sharia. So this Humusa that came from India is permissible. And you recite Bar Priyadama on it. Now, what exactly is in this Humusa? So it's in here Rashi doesn't give you all the ingredients. Rashi in other places, besides Yuma, fills you in on what it is. It's basically some kind of a mixture of ginger with honey or something like that. And Rashi says that Sharia, so Rashi on the spot says, Ein ba lo mishum bishul nochrim, lo mishum gil nochrim. That there would have been two potential kashrus issues, and neither of them are really a concern. There would have been an issue of bishul akum, so that we spoke a lot about last week, why it's not a problem, bishul akum, for a variety of reasons. It's eino nechuk moshu chai, for different reasons why that's mutter. And now, today's shir is lo mishum gil nochrim. That's not a concern, lest we say that it was cooked in goish pots. So Rashi just ignores it. Machs the and says, no, don't worry about it. There's no gil nochrim, nothing to worry about. All gil nochrim, the fact that it's prepared and goyish pots doesn't concern me. So the question is, why doesn't that concern me? Since when is that all of a sudden food that's cooked in a tray for pot all of a sudden is mutter? So what is Rashi driving at? So let's take a look in the back of Maseches Brachos at the Mordechai. With the Mordechai and Simin Kuf Kezayim. It's in my Gemara, it's Daf Mem Zayin with days in the pages of the Mordechai. I can't take for certain that's all the Gemaras of the same print. But it's in Siman Kuf Tezayin. Okay. What's that? Siman Kuf Tezayin. Zangevila Retifta. So this moist, juicy kind of zangvila, the ginger, the hainu lituria, kosa Rabbi Avia Ezri, nira the ina nechteches the sakin shal nochrim. So says Rabbi Avia Ezri, Avia Ezri called the Ravya. So says the Ravya that the reason why this food, this ginger, is permissible is because it's probably not cut with non Jewish knives anyway. When the goyim produce it, they don't cut the ginger off using a potential trefa knife, which would have posed a problem. The delicious, he says that it's probably just yanked out of the ground. So first of all, the Ravio is assuming that there's no cooking going on. The Ravio is not even addressing putting it into a pot. The worst kli, the worst utensil that the Ravio is addressing from the kashrus perspective is maybe it was cut with a trefa knife. So the Ravio says, nah, it's not true. It's not cut with a trefa knife. Because if it would have been cut with a trefa knife, then we would have been in a lot of trouble. Why? The logara mikoy shel chilsis, the per beis davar izara, those are in the Yomi, you may find this familiar, which is yesterday's daf, if I'm not mistaken, today's daf. So comes Rav Yon and says, I will prove to you that a non-kosher knife is not used, because if a non-kosher knife would have been used, so that would have been a disaster. That would have been a problem. What would have been the problem? So Rav Yon makes reference to a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, by Kurcho Chilsis. Chilsis was some kind of a spicy vegetable, and the Gemara says that if a goy wants to sell you this vegetable, even though there's nothing treif about the vegetable per se, but since the vegetable was cut with treifa knives, so all of a sudden that poses a problem. So just as the kurcho chilsis was a problem because it's cut with a treifa knife, so too imtim tzalami that this ginger, this zangavila, would have been cut with a treifa knife, it also would have been a problem. The reason why it's mutter because the maestro metzias says that it's not. The metzias says that it's yanked out of the ground rather than actually being cut. Inami, or says the Rav Yom, maybe there's another reason why we're not so worried about the knives. Yeshtam kelim yom yichadim l'chach. He said that maybe the reason why it's mutter is because even if it is cut with a knife, but maybe there are special knives, like some stores and some products that the manufacturer, they don't want to mix up the knives, they don't want to use a chaza knife to cut this ginger. So they have special ginger knives, and that's why we don't have to be concerned with it. So basically, both answers that the Rav Yoh is saying are really Metzias issues. He's saying that if Tumtzalim really would have had a treif knife, he would have had a problem. But the good news is, either they yanked it out of their hands, or the other possible good news is that they cut it with in a sense, kosher knife, because you can cut them just to cut these things. But otherwise, we would have had a problem. So this is the Rav Yoh's approach to the sugya, and it makes reference to the sugya of Korach Chosis. However, not so simple at all, because we have to learn a little bit about that sugya about Korach Chosis, what the Gemara is or is not saying, to appreciate what the Rav Yoh is actually telling us. So we take a look at the Gemara's and Avodah Zarah. On Daf Lamed Tesla Ben Aleph, so it's just about the halfway down, a little bit more than halfway down the page. It's in the middle lines, about 6-7 lines down on Lamed Tesla Ben Aleph. The first one line is Anafshe. So that Korcho Chilsis, so the Mishnah told us that this piece of Chilsis is a problem. My time, says the Gemara, Mishum Demavski Lebesakina, because the Goyim would cut it with their treifa knives, and that's a problem. Now comes the Gemara and says, really? Why is that a problem? But wait a second, don't we have a rule that nosin tam levgam is permissible? So we touched on that a little bit last week. Namely, whenever you have a taste of food that's sitting absorbed inside the walls of the utensil for X amount of time, and we assume that X is 24 hours, so we assume that any taste that's inside the walls is already nosin tam levgam. It already is starting to lose its taste. It's already tasting very, very schwach. And therefore, it becomes mutter. Min haTorah for sure becomes mutter. And b'diavad, a kli that's eino ben yomo is not going to pose any problem whatsoever. So the Gemara is asking on itself, why does the Mishnah asa, why does the Mishnah trafe up the Korach Chilsis? Because of the trafe for knives. But you think that the Goyim used the knife an hour ago? We have another principle we'll talk about a little bit later called Stam Kalim Einam B'nei Yomam. That if I don't know whether a particular kli was used within the last 24 hours, I can assume it probably wasn't. Again, we have to see why that assumption is correct, or if that assumption is correct. And therefore, the Gemara is questioning, what are we asking the Korach Chilsis for? Even worst case scenario, it was cut with a Goyish knife. What's the big deal? It's going to be nosin tam levgam anyway. The Gemara says, no, not so simple. Agav chorfei dechilsisa mechal yalei shamnunisa. Says the Gemara, this is the introduction of what's called the principle of a dover chorif. This chiltis, this korcha chiltis, is very sharp. And whenever we deal with sharp foods, and we take a knife that cuts a sharp food, all the regular rules of kashrus break down. Normally we rely on the kula called nosin tam levgam, forget it. When there's a sharp food that's being cut, we assume that the sharpness of the food will impact on the tam that's inside the walls of the knife and to potentially transform, can potentially convert that tam into being a nosin tam l'shevach. So even though right now it's a nosin tam l'gam, but it can come back to life. And what can bring it back to life is a very, very strong, very, very sharp, davachar kind of a taste, can turn an otherwise nosin tam l'gam into a nosin tam l'shevach. And that's shot of the mission. That's what Korach Chilsis is also.
If it was previously used for a tray, and then 24 hours passes, and then you cut an onion or something.
That's what you always knew. We always learned as kids. You cut an onion, that's a disaster. This come on. That's exactly where it came from. It came from exactly this.
Even if the food's been there for a year, it's
been there for a long time. Correct. It's been there for a long time. Okay? Good. So again, so the Gemara is talking about Korach Chilsis. The Gemara develops for us this klal that normally there's a kula of nosin tam levgam, but here everything is trumped by the fact that it's a davar charif. Just parenthetically, there's something else that's trumped by being a davar charif. What else is now almost bizarre about being a davar charif? What other rule of kashrus just got changed? What is missing in this case of cutting a vegetable? There's no heat. Isn't that the ABCs of what spread treifas? The Gemara says, Sonei b'tzonei b'adachah. It was a Gemara in the Fiyom a couple of days ago. If I have a cold piece of treifa food and a cold piece of kosher food, they touch each other, just wash it off. There's no bulia, there's no transferring of taste.
So here the charifas is, isn't
that? Oh, so that's what the Gemara is saying. When you have a davar charif, even though everything is cold, if you have what's called as a combination, it's a davar charif plus a duchka de sakina, I'm pressing with a knife. So when I press with a knife on a davar charif, so all the rules change. That trumps nosin tam levgam. It trumps tzara b'hadocha. Everything becomes osur. So it's the Rav Yoh had this Gemara in front of his eyes, and he says that that al korchach, the mitzias must be that in the ginger business in India, they cannot possibly be using the same knives that they would use cut the chaza with, because if that would be the case, then we would have to trafe up the ginger. The fact Chazal said the ginger is mutter, it's a raya brura that the mitzias was they won't use those knives, either because they were plucking it out of the ground with their hands or because they had sekirim hamiyuchar mutach. So the Rav Yoh had his eye on this gemara. The problem is that there are other Rishonim who probably did not have their eye on this gemara. The other Rishonim who probably ignored almost this gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Lametas. And the question is, who are those Rishonim? Why did they ignore them? So Rashi, did it come through in the end, that last part of them? No, did it make it? Okay, so I'll read the Rashi. It's a Rashi in Maseches Yuma and Daf Peal from Beis, where the identical sugya appears by him. Musa. And listen to what Rashi says. The Himlah says Sharia, why? The Ein Bo Mishum Bishul in Nachrim. There's no Bishul Acham on, like we said last week. Shenechach Moshe Chai, because it's edible raw. The Lo Mishum Giulei Nachrim. And there's nothing to worry about Giulei Nachrim. You know why? Listen to the three words. There's no Saint Tam Lefgam. Boom. Rashi said, don't worry about it. It's no Saint Tam Lefgam. And therefore you don't have to be concerned. Because you don't have to be concerned. What happened to this Gemara? Well, you don't have to be concerned. So, first of all, do we know for certain that this Gemara in Daf Lametes and Maseches Avodah Zarah is an absolute statement about all Dvarim Harifim under the sun? Any and every sharp food under the sun is automatically subject to this Chumra of Dvar Harif that changes and transforms and turns Tam Pavos and Tam Shevach? We don't know. The Gemara is only talking about Kor Shalchosis. So if you take a look at Tosis in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lametes and Aleph, so we take a look at the Tosus, Lametes and Aleph, Agav Chorfei Dechilsa, Havalekinos in Tam, Neshevach. V'yesh Befarshim, in the middle of the Tosus, Agav Chorfei, V'yesh Befarshim, Kamochein, there are those who say, Kamochein de Botzel, the Kaflot, Shenechtach Besakten, Shalav de Gechavim, the Lo Sagile Beklipa, the Agav Chorfei Bolotvei. So says Tosus, there are those who say that just as the Gemara says, if you cut the Chilsis, that's a blia, and it goes all the way through, it permeates the entire vegetable, you have to throw the whole thing into the garbage, it was cut with a trefa knife. The same is true with cutting onions. An onion is also a davar charif. So however, says to us, v'shamati b'shem haram, I've heard in the name of the Ram, Rabbeinu Meir, the chilsus adavka, the charif tfei, v'lo bots of a kaflot. No, not so simple, not so poshut. Ein lo elamash amur chazal. So when Chazal say that the kurt shochilsis is a davar charif, that trace of everything, even knows a davar gam, low pashut, not so simple at all. Maybe that's something special. Maybe this is so super duper, charif. How do we know how to extrapolate to other dvarim charifim? If that's the case, so maybe that would be defensive. Rashi says, no sedan of gam, don't worry, don't bother me, it's no sedan of gam, everything's okay.
You were talking about himlissa, right?
Right.
So that, maybe that's not charif.
Okay, so ginger, we assume, is some degree of a charif. It's ginger,
it's,
right.
It's like chilsis.
Right, well, that's the question. Is it's not chilsis mamish, it's probably some lower level. So do we say that chilsis is lav dafka? Chilsis, anything that has any charifas to it is a problem. Or is it something that's unique dafka to chilsis? But other kinds of quote-unquote, the dvarim charifim wouldn't pose a problem. So this is already a well-established machlokes rishonim. It's actually two opinions of Shulchan Aruch and Yodea. And maybe that's the root of the issue in the ginger also. Where's the Rav Yoh went out of his way, turned over the whole world upside down and said, the goyim in India must be pulling it out of the ground or cutting it with special knives. It's not shocked them to using trefa knives because that would trefa up everything. Right? I love dafka. Who knows? How do you know so simple? How do you know so fast? But up upon him, when Rashi says the phrase, when Rashi is defending, let's go back to Rashi again, and Rashi is defending the using of the himlasa, even though presumably it's being cut with trefa knives. So Rashi says, you know why it's okay? You know why there's nothing to worry about? So Rashi says, because it's no sin tam lefgam. What exactly does that mean? It's no sin tam lefgam. What is making it lefgam? I'm taking a trefa knife. I'm going to use the knife. I'm going to take the trefa knife, and I'm using this trefa knife to cut the ginger. And Rashi says, that's okay. No problem. Don't bother. Everything's okay. No sin tam lefgam. Can you understand Rashi in one of two ways? What are the two just logistical ways that I'm saying Rashi? What is making this Nosan Damavka?
In a Benyama.
Oh, so Rashi never told you when this knife was used last. So there he's putting into Rashi, plugging into Rashi. Well, Mistama Rashi had in mind, the Gemara's in the Vedazara that talk about Stam Kalim and Benyama, right? So it must be that the reason why this is Nosan Damavka is an extension of that rule of, well, it must be that the Kli hasn't been used in 24 hours. We can assume the Kli hasn't been used in 24 hours. That's one possibility. Could one suggest something different? Could one suggest another reason why it's an Osa Tavla Gam?
Charifas.
Oh, so using Charifas is a bad thing, but you're on the, he's on the road. Maybe there's something that we don't know about the interaction of this ginger, this hummus, with other potential tastes. And maybe any other taste that's going to go into this ginger mixture is by definition going to be pogain the food. What would that mean for us practically? That would mean that even if I know that I used this knife 10 minutes ago, I just cut a hot blazing piece of chaz with this knife, and I take the knife and I cut the ginger with it. So according to Danny Shekotaira, the ginger is treif in the Torah because it had a bli of chaz, and the bli of chaz is going to go right into the ginger, it's going to treif up the ginger. The only reason why we're going to make yel on stam ginger because stam kelim and minayoma, but if you know for a fact that it's a minayoma, it would be a problem. But if you go down the second approach, the one that we're suggesting now, maybe what makes this ginger Nosei Tam Lugam is nothing to do with Stam Kalim. Rashi and Yuba didn't say boom, never said a word, never mentioned anything about the Kli, never said 24 hours. Maybe just by definition, the mixture of ginger with other kinds of foods just doesn't bode well for the ginger. You're asking the wrong guy. I can't give you a hachra on that. But one can, in terms of longness, one can learn the Rashi in one of two ways.
It's like soap? I mean, soap.
Oh, you mean it's a double poke, right? It's basically a double poke. So why are we're focusing a lot on the nitty gritty, almost on the details of, as to is this a dosa tam of gam? Is it not a dosa tam of gam? Is it a stam kelim in your mouth? I want to use this really as a springboard to understand almost like the ABCs and some very, very lumdisha, very, very critical lumdisha yisod that goes way beyond the cutting of ginger, way beyond the walls of a pot. They say that the Rav said about his grandfather, about Reb Chaim, that before Reb Chaim, so Yerodeh was pots and pans and silverware. He said, after Reb Chaim, so Yerodeh became Lomdashi Yisaydis in terms of brisket terrace. So we're gonna start to move out of the nitty-gritty of cutting gingers with knives and try to use this to get a little bit of a better understanding of what's really going on. So I'm going to challenge you with the following, Shaila. It's a din min Torah that if I have a pot that was cooked with treifos, and I go and I cook kosher food in it, that food becomes treif min Torah. Right, we talked about this last week. Pasuk Chumash, Yilinit, Vidyon, Noshalda. And then there's another Dibin HaTorah, a lenient Dibin HaTorah, that if 24 hours have passed, so then it's fine. Because of Nosatam of Gam, it's in the vanishing of the Ger, it's also good. So there's a two Dinim in the Raisa. If it's a Ben Yom, it trace up the food, Ben Yom, it doesn't drink up the food. All of a sudden, the Gemara throws at us a curveball and says, oh, by the way, Stam Kalim, Enim, Ben Yom. You can assume, if you don't know to the contrary, you can assume that the Kli probably was not used as a Ben Yom. Anyone have problems with that? I have serious problems with that. This is a Suffolk one.
The
Raisa. This is a Raisa. Is that a game? It's not a Suffolk Chris of Magilla coin to some, but now there's a real Raisa. There's a real coin. There's a real Shiloh of Trafus with Raisa. The whole Suffolk Raisa. What in the world does it mean? That Stam Kalim, how do you know? Like, Mehesha Taisa, that piece of information is correct. That Stam Kalim or Enim Yomim. Who said? So comes the Rosh in Maseches Avodah Zarah. There's a brush in the back.
Unless it's not an Indian of usual and cooking and the thing, Tom Gam, it's an issue of the Kaili itself that you can't use the Kaili, but it's not an issue of.
So Henry is saying, you're saying an unbelievable Lumda Shavar. Again, it's not going to help for this Kasha. It's a very Lumda Shavar. You're Mechavim Torah. Oh, it's a very, very Lumda Shavar question. The Babel will just very, very quickly reference to it, and hopefully next year the Chol Shavar will come back with a lot more.
That's the second reference in a week.
That's right, that's right. You're getting ready for next year. That I keep on saying that the Torah says you're not allowed to use a treif pot. That if you use a treif pot, so the food becomes treif, and da-da-da-da. Because the time spreads, the taste goes from one to another. But between you and me, in other words, we also bumped into this very recently, that whole institution of tam ki ikar, that taste is considered to be problematic in halacha. If I can't see the item itself, but I can taste something about it, That's a big shot. Is that a din in the Torah? Is that a din in the Rabbanan? There are many, many opinions in the Gemara, and there are many, many Rishonim, including Rashi. That was in Chul a couple of days ago. Rashi says that at the end of the day, the whole institution of Tam, and when there's no be'en, when you can't see the treifos, doesn't exist on a level of Deraisa, which poses a very, very serious problem. If the Torah itself is not the Siachis, the Tam, according to those Rishonim, we have in Shulchan Aruch Paskinata, what we Paskin is a Deraisa problem. But according to those Rishonim, we say the Tam doesn't really exist in the Torah. So we have to scratch that itch. So why can't I use a treif pot? Well, what is wrong with using a treif pot? The guy just cooked this chazer in 10 minutes ago, cleaned it out, there's no be'en, and I cooked my soup in it. Why is that soup treif in the Torah? What's the problem? If Tom doesn't exist, why is that soup treif? So what's the answer? It's not really treif. Treif is an iser hishtam shus in the kli. The Ra'ah says, the Torah gave us a parasha that you're not allowed to use a treif kli, even though in the world of Yerodea, nothing really happens. Whatever comes out of the treif kli doesn't really bother us. But you're still not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat food that was cooked in a pot that was a treif pot, even though in the world of Blias, nothing really happened. So that's a big yisod. We have to put that on hold for another time. Okay? But I want to get back to this klal. Everyone agrees again, min haTorah, everybody agrees that if I know it's a ben yomo, it's also min haTorah. If I know it's not a ben yomo, then it's mutter min haTorah. I want to know, what do I do in the middle? I don't know. Why isn't that called the suffix? If you take a look at the Rosh, in the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, so the Rosh, it's in Siman Lamed Hei. So it's in Siman Lamed Hei, and the Rosh in the second parak. This is one of the most critical rushes in all of your day. So Siman Lamed Hei, Perek Bei Siman Lamed Hei. It's the fourth line in the rush in Siman Lamed Hei. It's the fourth line. The Afal Gab says the rush. The Mistam Ha'avikichav Mistam Shebeklei Bechol Yoyim. The Rush turns the Gemara on its head. The Gemara says, "Stop killing the young," which makes it sound like the guy hasn't used this kli in months. Says Rush, "What are you talking about?" Says the guy, "Stop used it today." And, you know, we kind of think you go to our kitchens, you have 15 pots and 20 knives. In the olden days, there was one pot. There was one. I don't think they ate with forks. I think it's forks, if I'm not mistaken, it was an invention in England, like in the Middle Ages or something. I don't know, nobody ate with forks. Soup, you needed a spoon fork, and that was hard to eat with liquid without a spoon. But people didn't have too many kalim. So we started to go, I did use the kli today. So the Rosh asks, what's it we're talking about? We're being mati sum deraisa because of this strange assessment that he probably didn't use today. It's partially not true. Says the Rosh, no white splitter. Afilu hochi sharinamu. Mishum the half a fake sfeik. Now you say those words. Now we know we're talking about this. Says the Rush. Yes, we have a rule called sfeik ederais l'chumra. We have another rule that appears in Ksubas Daf Tes that tells us sfeik sfeika is l'kula. Whenever we have a double doubt, whenever we have two distinct reasons to suggest that something should be mutter, whenever you have a double doubt, then everything's okay. That's mutter min haTorah. What's the double doubt over here? So listen to the Rush continues. Safek im nishtam shibo hayom. So first of all, we don't know whether the goy used this pot today. That's doubt number one. Okay, but that doubt number one wouldn't solve the problem. That would create a safek derais in the chumra. But vafilu nishtam shibo hayom. Even if it's a lemma that the goy used it today, shema nishtam shibo b'davishu pogim be'en. Maybe the food that he cooked today is a kind of a food that interacts very badly with the food that I'm cooking now. I'm cooking my chicken soup. So it could be that chazer and chicken soup just interact horribly and miserably. I don't know. I don't even know what he cooked today. So comes the Rosh and says, they have two sfeikas, two doubts. There are two independent reasons to be matter the food that the Jews subsequently cooked. Even though we don't know for certain that it's an Eina Ben Yomo. Number one, maybe it is Eina Ben Yomo. And in terms of Lomar, it's a Ben Yomo. Maybe it's no mutter. So you see that these are two different reasons to be matter something, and they're converging together. So we're not sure on Rashi. We said Rashi tells us that the reason why the ginger is cut with the treif knives is mutter. Rashi says that's okay because it's doesn't tell of God. We don't know which shot Rashi meant. Did Rashi mean that we're saying with certain that all tamim in the knife kill the ginger. But we say, no, Rashi just saying it's doesn't dam of dam because of 24 hours extension of inyan. We're not sure. But for what we know for a fact that the Rashi is saying is that it's the converging together of these two different svaras that creates the sveik sveika. So far, so good in the Rosh. So at least we had a kasha. What happened to Stam Kelim? How we mount the Stam Kelim? It's only a suffix. And for the Rosh, it's a sveik sveika. The Rosh continues. Says the Rosh, wait a second. Why are we relying on a sveik sveika for? Why don't we simply ask a non-Jew to taste the food for us and tell us, does this taste like really yummy, delicious chazen now? Here I cooked a pot of potato soup in a pot, and I have no idea whether it's a ben yom or not. I'm guessing it's a sveik sveika that it's okay. You bring in a goy and have the goy taste it and tell us what he thinks. Why are we trusting also we're trusting a goy to tell us something in a chazkash? But he's the mashkiach, he's the rabbi mashir. So that's the Gemara in the beginning of the seventh paragraph of Chulin, at least in Daf Yomi a week or two ago, where the Gemara tells us that if you have a shayla nuchas tarovas, you're not sure whether something tastes treif or not, just ask the goy. And the goy is perfectly ne'amon. Why is the goy ne'amon? So the machlek is Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says the reason why the goy is ne'amon is that he's what's called a mesiach lefitumo. It means don't ask him too seriously. Don't make him think that you're really relying on what he's saying. Just kind of shoot the breeze at him, shmooze him. You know, like, give him a bowl of soup and say, oh, I just cooked the soup. Well, what do you think? You like the taste? Like, what do you think it tastes like? Don't let him think that you really, really need what he's saying. If he really believes that his word really didn't count, then he may want to pull a stick on us. But if he's just stopped schmoozing and shooting the breeze, we assume he's probably going to tell us the truth. The starting point of life is people tell the truth until they have some incentive to lie. So Rashi invokes that principle of Sikh Mitumo. That's the reason why they're going to believe. So many Rishonim have a lot of problems with Rashi. As the Gemara says, in the end of Avakama, the Mesiach Mitumo does work with the Raisas. It only works with the Rabbonans, which poses a whole challenge. How is he working with his Kashrus? The Tosfos says the reason that's more accepted than other Rishonim, the reason why the Goy is believed is because he's a professional Goy. He's an Uman. He's a professional person who doesn't want to lose his reputation. So if I'm going to say to him, listen, you tell me, I'm hiring you as a chef, and I'm asking you, all the eyes are on you, and you tell me, do you taste chaz? And the guy says, no. And then I go ahead and I taste it. I go, come on, it's chaz in there. So he's going to lose his reputation. But that's the reason why he's believed. There's an unbelievable role that he's probably telling us the truth. He doesn't want to lose his reputation. So the Rosh comes and asks, why don't we invoke that principle of asking the goy the same way the Gemara has it in other places? So listen to what the Rosh says. So the Rosh tells us, nah, you don't have to ask a goy. You know why? It's a pain in the neck to ask a guy. It's a pain in the neck to go find a guy. You got to go question the guy and make sure you feed him the food. It's not good. You're not worth it. You're not mechuyav to do that. Just rely on the sveik sveika and you're good to go. Sveik sveikas don't have to be nisbar. You don't have to be mevar. The sveik sveika, it's going to be a big pain in the neck to do so. So ad kan devir rush. So within the words of this Rosh, the Rosh just opened up our eyes to some very, very basic klolim. And the Rosh is saying that this halach of Stam Kelim and Ibn Yomam is predicated on these basic rules on the love of Deraisa. Even though we should have treated it like the Safed Deraisa L'chumra, we're not going to because we have the Sveik Sveika. And once we've established we have the Sveik Sveika, so then we're good to go. Even though we could potentially be Mevarit, we're not mechuyav to do so, it's a tircha, it's too much of a pain in the neck to do so. I can't give a rush. Let's see what we can say about this rush. What the rush can open up our eyes a little bit about some yisodos, not just in kashas, but in kol tirgum. Why exactly does this work? Sveik sveika? What's the logic for that? Isn't if a suffix is also in a Torah, why does sveik sveika work?
Concept of role, the box.
Oh, the boxes, the box theory. Oh. So the Rashba is a famous word. The Rashba, the Tshuva writes, we call the blackboard robe. The Rashba probably never saw blackboard, but we call it the blackboard robe. Says the Rashba. We'll take this case of the sveik sveika. I have this knife, I have this pot, and there are two different reasons why this pot may be mutter. Either because it's more than 24 hours since you use the treifas, or because whatever time is in there is going to be taste bad in the kosher we're about to cook. What is the statistical probability that I don't have a problem here? In terms of pure statistics, what are the odds that I don't have a problem here? Could anybody make such a statement? There's no way to make such a statement. You know why? Because we don't have the data. But what in the world are the statistics here to know, was this food a type of food that the guy used, a type of food that's going to ruin the taste or improve the taste. I have no idea what the odds to that, what the answer to that question are. I have no idea what the statistics are. Maybe it was used today, maybe it wasn't used today. How would I even begin to manufacture such numbers? So once I have no data, I can't say that, well, there's a 51% chance that everything is okay. It's not true. You have no idea. I have no idea what the answer to that question is. But what do I know? What I do know is, although I don't necessarily know statistical possibilities, I do know logical possibilities. And logical possibilities simply mean there are four different scenarios on the blackboard, because there are two variables here. We're not sure whether this is the kind of a food that's inside the walls of the pot that ruins things or improves things, and we're not even sure whether 24 hours have passed or not. So there are four logical possibilities. So if I had a blackboard, draw a map, very simple. One logical possibility is that 24 hours have passed, and by the way, this happens to be a kind of food that's going to ruin the food anyway. So that's one possibility. What would that mean, lahalacha?
Yeah,
mutter, right? Totally mutter. What if the next logical possibility, this is the type of food that ruins the food, but it's still within 24 hours? What would the din be? Mutter, mutter. Third logical possibility. This is a kind of a food that does, in general, improve the food, but guess what? 24 hours have already passed. What would the din be? Mutter. There's one last case. Namely, it's a kind of a food that improves the food, and 24 hours have not passed. What's the answer to that? It's asa midaraisa. So there are four possibilities on the board. Three out of the four point in the direction of being mutter, albeit for different reasons. One of them has both characteristics, leheter, and the other two have one or the other. Says the Rashba, that's called a rov. That's a charam lahatus. Now, zen namar, that's also included in the Parsha Torah charam lahatus, even though statistically I have absolutely no clue what's going on. Nobody can say, it could be a statistic of 90% against me. It doesn't matter, says the Rashba. That's called the rove. Rove of logical possibilities is also called the rove of logic, and that's what Sfeik Sfeik is based on. Famous part from the Rashba. Not everybody agrees to this Rashba. Well, anyone remember from previous Yerim who the Bar Plukta this Rashba probably is? Any Rishon has any other creative approach as to why Sfeik Sfeik is mutter? It's linked to something we spoke about a couple of weeks ago about the Rambam. The Rambam is a very, very unique sheet about Sfeikas in general. We have a rule, Sfeikah derech luchumah. Everyone agrees that's Mishnayos. But the Rambam had a very, very unique way of reading that shot, reading that din. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Sfeikah derech luchumah, only on what level? Only on the rabbanitic level. On the deraistic level, it's mutter. If you have a piece of meat and you have a 50-50 chance whether it's kosher or not, Moshe Rabbeinu would give you a green light. You can eat it. But the rabbanitic, they made a chumah, the rabbanitic is pastish. It's not right to eat it. But with deraist, you're allowed to eat it. Taking that Rambam, can anyone now take it to the next level? Why should Sfeik Sfeik be mutter?
Is Rabbanan weren't kosher on Sfeik
Sfeik? Oh, it's even more than that. It's even more than that. You're almost there. According to the Shittas of Rambam, why would Sfeik Sfeik be mutter? So, two Gedolei Olam, the Peshua and the people who got them, said independently, the same shah. According to the Rambam, let's look at the first suffix first. Once I have a first suffix, I have a latest suffix in the first one, what area of Allah is gone already? There's no derisas anymore. Once it's a latest suffix, it's done. So the worst I have in front of me is in the Siddur Rabbanan. Now when I get to the second layer, when I get to suffix number two, what do I have a right to turn around and say? Suffix Rabbanan Lekula. So the Gedolei Olam, the Gemara, the Yeshua says, that's the pshat. The Rambam doesn't say that's the reason for Sfeik Sfeik Mimutah, but the Rambam does say that Sfeik Deraisa is only L'chumah Midir Rabbanan, and the Gemara of Tasek Subas says Sfeik Sfeik is Mutah. So the Gedolei Olam put together these Rambam and Gemara Subas and said, must be the reason why Sfeik Sfeik is Mutah is because every Sfeik Sfeik is by definition a Sfeik Rabbanan L'chumah. That's the one. If that's the case, then we understand full well why the Rashba didn't go down that route. Why did the Rashba have to go make a blackboard robes? What was the fundamental problem with the Rambam Shita? The Rambam, that some of the Rashba's were clear. Who was the biggest opponent to that? Who was the Rishon who attacked that attack the time and time again? We spoke about this a couple weeks ago. The Rashba. The Rashba in Kiddushin, the fourth Barak, the Rashba in the Torah Savayas. Every time the Rashba quotes the Rambam, he says it's wrong, it's not true, it's fake, it's a Rasam in the Torah. So the Rashba Shita also held that all fake is a Rasam in the Torah. Never in a million years would the Rashba offer that pshat for fake. Therefore, the Rashba had to go searching and find another pshat, i.e., the blackboard rove. So we have machlokes, the gedolei oilam, between the rabbi and the rashba, why six fingers are mutter, but the mutter. Lomaisa the mutter. So the rush is not bad. The rush is going on firm ground. The Gemara Kesuvah says six fingers are mutter. So the rush is okay. It's a good, valid sfeika sfeika. Maybe it's a davar pugi, maybe not. It is. It's not. Well, maybe it's 124 hours. Anyone has a problem with this rush? A major, major problem with this rush. Earth-shattering problem with this rush. I'm going to share with you a sfeika sfeika. Not a sfeika sfeika, it's the sfeika sfeika. It's the sfeika sfeika of Chazal. There are hundreds of other sfeika sfeikas that are in the Rishon and the Nachmar, but there's one in Chazal. And that's the Gemara Kesuvah Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that a person walks into Beis Din the morning after his wedding, and he says, Omer Pesach Pasulach Matzasi. He says, his wife was Mazana. Now, in today's world, in terms of the way we have Kedushin and Chuppah together, it's a terrible thing to say, but there's going to be very, very limited significance of that, because it's basically tantamount to saying Mazana before she got married, which may throw into questions of Mekirtos and Ksubas and other kinds of stuff. But in terms of saying that she did violate a little sinuf, you're not really saying that. But Bizman Chazal, when a person walks to the basin and says, Omer Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, what's he in effect saying? That she was Mazana between the Kedushin and the Nesuvin potentially. Now that would be a serious problem. That would impact on the relationship, because if she really was Mazana Beratzon after the Kedushin, she's an Eishinish, she's a Surah Levayat Yilavoyat. So when he walks up the base and he says Pesach Matzuch Masasi, he's in effect saying that his wife is a suratim. So the Gemara says, no, he's not. He's not saying that at all. Because when he says Pesach Matzuch Masasi, all he's saying is that she's not a basula. But what possibility exists?
Before the Kedushin.
Maybe before the Kedushin. Who knows when she was? I don't know when she was. Even if he divorced that he's Naaman. Why is he Naaman? Shavi Nash Chichli Sura. If you walk up the base and say, your food is strength, you believe for yourself. So if he walks in and says his wife is a surah, he should be believed. But he's not even really saying she's a surah. He's just giving us this piece of information. He's saying that she was Mazana. Good. She was Mazana when? Maybe before Erickson. Maybe after Erickson. No idea. But that's still a problem. Why is that a problem?
Something derives.
Something derives from Chumrah. Because if that's really what we're interpreting his words to mean, the guy says, Pesach Pasuach, translates to mean, that equals saying, I have no idea when she was Mazana, but it may or may not have been before Erisin. So that's tantamount to saying she's a surah. Mitam Safi Teres Lachumin. She's a surah. She's a surah. She's a surah. So that's a big, big problem. He says, nah, it's not a problem. She's with Teres. You know why?
Was Mazana.
She
got a
matah. So the Gemara doesn't even mention that Mukas 8, the Tosu Sacha. But you don't even need Mukas 8. He says, Pesach 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 Pesach. So the Gemara says, Amaya Surah, snake faker. What's a snake faker? Maybe she was Mazana Tachtov, maybe in a Tachtov. Maybe she was Mazana when she's after Kedushin, maybe not, maybe before. And even in Tim Saloma, if it happened after, who says it was Baratzum? Maybe it was Nensur. She was forced, she was attacked. And Ashes Yisrael, she Nensur's Muteris. So comes the Gemara and says, what he said is Bokyus, what he says is meaningless, what he says is Narashka. Even Al Tzadid is believed to say what he said. The translation of his words, Pesach Pesach Pesach, do not translate to mean Asura because of Hilchos Sveik Sveika. That's the fresh word. That's the source of all of Shas for Sveik Sveika. So that line is super stuff to us. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Amar Rabbi Loza, Amar Pesach Pesach Pesach, Nehman Osra Lov, Frekting Rabbi Amai Sveik Sveika, Shem Atakla, Shem Atakla, Shem Atakla, Shem Atakla, Shem Barotzen. That is Sveik Sveika in Shas. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, I'll give you a case where there's no sex faker. What's a case? Give me a case. So wow, I'm showing you a case where there's no sex faker. You go, Shekibo ba avia kedushin pachas mibaskinon. The father was makabel kedushin for this girl before she was 3 years old. Why is that important? Any act of znus that would have happened before 3 wouldn't be Pesach Pesach. The Gemara says it's not physically again. That's Pesach Lachos or whatever that means. The bottom line is that only an act of znus after the age of 3 is going to impact in the world. Well, otherwise, it's not going to be recognizable as a Pesach Pesach. Again, whatever Lamaisa that means. So comes the Gemara and says, so now we have a problem. Now that suffix is thrown out the window. So there's only one suffix left. One suffix is maybe it was what? Maybe it's onus, maybe it's beratzon. So what's the jitaka rachis asura? That's what the Gemara ends. That Amar Rabba laws, Amar Rabba says, what's asking them on? Hachal ma'eskinon. In that scenario. Comes Tosis on the spot in Subas Naftas and he asks the following question. Comes Tosis and says, there's still a Sveik Sveika. I'll tell you what the Sveik Sveika is. Maybe it was Be'ones and maybe it was Beratzon. That's the only Sveik. And even if it's long it was Beratzon, maybe this happened before she was 12 years old, before she was Bas Mitzvah. Why is that important? Why is that important that this happened before she was Bas Mitzvah? Because even if she did a Beratzon, what do we say? She's a what? She's a Ketan. She's a Lapas Das. So the Gemara says, Pita Ketan Oynis, it's like Oynis. Oynis means it was not for, she didn't do it willingly. So what's the difference whether she was attacked at the age of 14 or she did it willingly at the age of 11? Each one of those things are reasons to be mad for her. So Frek tells us, it's Vaita Svek Sveka. He's still back in business again. What is he going to say? Sorry, there's no Svek Sveka because we lost the suffix of before Kedushin. Good, we lost the suffix of Kedushin. We still have the second suffix of maybe it's a suffix of Anisavik Baratza. Maybe it was Kodim 12. What do you think the answer to that question is? Famous cash of Tizik Subazaf Test. When Subazaf Test, you can sit in yeshivas for weeks in this cash. What's the answer to this cash? What is wrong with this Sveik Sveika? There is something radically wrong with this Sveik, something deficient about this Sveik Sveika. Maybe it's Be'ones, and maybe it's Beratzon, and even if it's Lomer, it's Beratzon, maybe it was Kodim 12.
Same suffix.
It's the same suffix. Let's put a halachic lingo on that. It's called the what? It's called? It's called the Sveik Sveika Meshem Echad. It's the same suffix. The suffix of ones and the suffix of a katana beratzon are just two ways of saying ones. They're two expressions of ones, but it's the same suffix. So says Tosas, but then the problem with sveik sveika works when you have bay shamus, you have bay sveikis, when you have two independent sveikis collide together, like over here, like in the classic case of Subastaf Test, the original case of Shema Tachtav, Shema Tachtav, Shema Anshem Ratzav. The suffix of tachta versus eno tachta is not at all related to the suffix of onus and ratzon. There are two different reasons why she's muteres. One reason she's muteres because it's onus, the other is because she wasn't in a shizish in the first place. Those two sveiks are not the same suffix. That's a bona fide sveik. When the sveik sveik or v'shem echad, that's always sveik sveik. It's not the ABCs of sveik sveik. Nope. He's got cash for me now. That was the background to this rush. Going to the rush. What is Stam Kalim Enim and Yomim based on? What's it based on? Because I have two reasons to explain why there's a pagam here. Either the pagam is because it's more than 24 hours, or the pagam is because this is a bad tasting food. What did I say?
Same stuff.
It's the same stuff. It means if the other name, if it is a pagam, it's not a pagam. You're rewording the same thing. You're saying maybe it's a pagam, maybe it's not a pagam. And by the way, maybe it's a pagam, maybe it's not a pagam. What is the difference? But Tosfos says, maybe it's onus, maybe it's ratzon. And by the way, maybe it's onus, maybe it's ratzon. So Tosfos disqualifies such sveik sveikas. So how in the world can the rush come off with such a sveik sveika? We rely on this all the time. This rush is shulchan aruch. We pass this all the time. You have shilas in the kitchen that happen. We're not sure. Stam kalim enim v'yomim. Probably more than 24 hours. What do you mean? Where's the sveik sveika? What's the sveik sveika? It's a shem echad. Ein lecha violation of sveik sveika. Of shem echad godel mizeh.
There's a bigger question on how you can say that rove is how you explain Sveik Sveika, because I mean you can have multiple possibilities practically, but some of those possibilities might overlap.
The same possibility, right? The shail of shem echad may or may not depend on that. It's possible. You may be right. If you hold like the Rambam, then maybe you're not so worried about shem echad. Maybe it could be. The Echorim of a riot that the Rambam disagrees with that Tosis. The Rambam doesn't talk about the topic, but the Echorim of a riot from a Rambam that he may disagree with that, the Tosis. But conventional wisdom is like Tosis. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass the Tosis. Shem Echad is a big problem. What's going on in this rush? So this is not my kasha. This is the Shach's kasha. Shach and Simen Kuf Yud have what's called Klolim Sveik Sveika. He has about 50, 60 Klolim of Sveik Sveika. This is one of the Klolim about Shem Echad. And he asked this bomb kasha, says the Shach, what's going on with this rush? What happened to Shem Echad? Comes the Shach with the following, you say, He has Rishon already, who says before him. Shach plugged in something that appears in the Tumas Hadash and it plugged into this. Comes to Shach and says, but Medim HaMamurim, that is fake, fake with Hashem Echad is no good, is when each Sofek is mater to the exact same extent as the other Sofek. It means Sofek A creates Heter 1, and Sofek B creates Heter 1. Same, it gets just as far. Not an iota, not an inch past. But if there's any chiluk between the two sveikis, if there's anything that Suffolk 1 could do that Suffolk 2 can't do, you find some kind of a chiluk ideas between the two, and it's not Shem Echad, it's similar, related, they're third cousins, but they're not the same thing. Identical twins are no good to be sveikis. If you're not third cousins, then it's third sveikis. How are these two sveikis not the same? This is pogrom. What's the answer, by saying? The pagam of this food tastes bad in this food, that's only true in this particular food. It means you're going to tell me that the guy cooked some chazer yesterday. The guy cooked chazer an hour ago, and chazer just tastes really bad in the food that we're cooking right now. That may be true in the food that we're cooking now, but it may taste really good in some other food that we may be cooking in 5 minutes from now. So the heter of a davar pogam, that the tray for food was a davar pogam, is a very, very, very case by case, very situation by situation, very, very limited in scope. It's not across the board. You have to bring in the experts, bring in the chefs, and figure out does the chazit add to the taste, does it detract from the taste? And the answer to one thing may be also maybe something else may be wrong. What about the heter of Eina Ben Yomo? So is Eina Ben Yomo. What kind of heter is that? You're good to go. It's a green light. Across the board, says the shach. You can amount to anything and everything under the sun, short of only one thing you can't. Dava Kharif. Okay, leave that Dava Kharif. We'll get mixed up with Dava Kharif. But short of Dava Kharif, it's going to work on everything. Says the Shach, guess what? They don't have the same DNA anymore. They're related. They're cousins, similar characteristics. They're both rooted in Pogim, but that's not what Tosfos is talking about. When Tosfos disqualified a Sveik Sveik Moshe Mechon, Tosfos meant when the two Sveikis are identical, should be identical. If there's a shemitz of difference of ashu or cues, they have difference between the two, then we're good to go. That is the yisod that emanates from this rush based on this view of the shach, and emanates from Rasugi. So again, so we started out with this with the cutting of the ginger, and the Gemara said, hey, ginger is mutter. The Indian ginger is okay, nothing to worry about. So the Rav Yoga also hits, what do you mean nothing to worry about? It's terrible, the Indian ginger, it's a disaster. Isn't it being cut with a tray for knives? Nah, it's not. You pluck it out with a hand, they have special kosher knives, but nothing to worry about. Buds up to Rav Yoh, infants alone, they would use the treif knife, it would have been a problem. So they say, what do you mean it's a problem? Stop killing me, young man. So the answer is no. This trumps Eina Ben Yomo, because this must be a davar chorif. What did Rashi hold? So either Rashi held that maybe that rule of davar chorif doesn't apply to everything, maybe Rashi held that the ginger may not have been so chorif anymore. Remember Rashi said that honey got mixed into it, so we're not really sure why Rashi denied the davar chorif issue. Rashi treated the ginger as being cooked and caught with regular tray for kelim. And Rashi said, it's still okay. Why? Doesn't tam lufgan. So we broke down the shah. We weren't sure. What does that mean, doesn't tam lufgan? Does doesn't tam lufgan mean there's something unique about ginger in tray for tastes? Or is it just a regular rule, stam kelim and b'niyom? We weren't sure what Rashi was trying to get. But again, everyone agrees to this cloud. We're finally concluding stam kelim and b'niyom. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. And we raise the question, why should that be so? Suffering the rice of the chumrah. So the rush opened up our eyes. The rush said, no, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because of a sveik sveika. So we said, really? Sveik sveika? How does that work? So we talked a little bit about Raman Rashba. And then we said, good, those eyes of sveik sveika works. But what happened to Shem Echad? And we're going to arrive from the Taizen Subis. The ABCs of sveik sveika says Taizen that Shem Echad is no good. So came along the shop and said, no, this sveik sveika is a little bit different. This has a little bit A, has a little bit teeny, teeny drop more than B has. I'll show one last clue that emanates from this rush for today, and we'll call for the night. This yisod that's coming out of this rush. Now, when the two sveikas are not absolutely and totally, completely identical to one another, so we can breathe a sigh of relief, and we can be matir a sveik sveik, even though it appears to be a shein echad. And then Yehuda, and Tshuva takes this shach, and takes this rush, and takes this yisod, to explain a very, very cryptic Ramah that appears in all totally different areas of halacha. We're jumping all across the board, a Ramah that appears in Nuchas Nida. There's a Ramah in Nuchas Nida that discusses a Shaila In the olden days, used to be a very, very common shayla, much less of a shayla as man is there for medical reasons, but it used to be a very, very common shayla. A woman's bleeding, and we have no idea, is it amnidus, is it amacha, does she have a macha, not have a macha? We're doing a lot of guesswork. In the olden days, they didn't have the equipment, they didn't have the technology to look and see exactly what's going on. So you have to figure out, is it a suffix, is it a robe, is it a chazam, is it a sfeik, all kind of kunsim, trying to figure out what halacha principles we can put into play here to pask in the shayla. So at one stage, in your day, the Ramah has a line, that the Ramah says that if you're not 100% sure that there's really a makah there in the first place, it would be, if you know for a fact there's a makah, it means the makah would be mutter. But you're not even sure she has a makah in the mokah and the uterus altogether. And the Ramah says, that in and of itself would still be a problem, it would be a suffix deraisa. But he said, wait a second, you're not even sure that the dam is coming from the uterus. Maybe it's coming from a different part of the body. Maybe it's coming from the cervix. Maybe it's coming from the vaginal area. Who knows where it's coming from? Maybe it's coming from hemorrhoids. Who knows where it's coming from? So the Ramah writes, if you have a sveik sveika, suffix whether you have a makha there altogether, and even if you don't have a makha, you're not even sure where the dam's coming from in the first place, the Ramah says sveik sveika and call it a day. So comes a shach on the spot, and he says, what kind of sveik sveika is it? It's the same thing. It means, maybe it's min ha-mokor, maybe it's not min ha-mokor, maybe it's min ha-mokor, maybe it's not min ha-mokor, it's just semantics. Says the Rebbe Yehuda. Says the Rebbe Yehuda, there's a quirk of a quirk, that if you have a makor in the mokor, even though it's a makor, it's halakhi, there's a wound in the mokor, that dam does not asa the woman of Milo, but that dam is tomei. Might have community with Manazeh, Prague in the 1700s, absolutely nothing. But it's tom, it's a sugi masech. The dam itself is dam nidus. It's dam nidus because it's in the mokor, but it doesn't create an issue for the woman. If you have dam coming from hemorrhoids, dam coming from another part of the body, the woman's nose is bleeding, the dam is not tome. Says in the Yehuda, the chaps around a slight nuance of difference that's totally irrelevant in your day. If you live in a world of tuba tara, chaps and nafkamina, whether that dam gets on a piece of bread to make the bread tome. Said, yep, good. Said, good enough for me. He said, it's good enough to be called a snake snake. As long as you can somehow can break up that connection, as long as the two snakes are not absolutely, completely, and totally identical, then you're good to go. Well, sure. We'll say one last snake snake and we'll know no really call it a night. According to everything we just said, that the snake snake of Meshay is a problem. And the only reason why the rush was Mekel is because it's not really Shemel, because the two Svekas are different. And the only reason why the Ramal was Mekel is not really because there's a little bit of a difference in the two Svekas. There's one less Svek for the night. And that's another Ramal. I'm jumping from across the gap of Yerdea. It's Ramal and Uchos Chodosh. The Ramal is trying to rely on the Tzchos and Klal Yisrael. People are not Makbid on Chodosh and Yoshan. So Ramal says, I'll give you the reason why. He says, because a guy in Krakow sitting down to have a piece of cake, have his bowl of noodles. Does he really know where in the world anything came from? There are no codes or anything. There's no idea where anything comes from. So comes the Ramah and says, he always has in his back pocket a space. What's the space? It goes up to Ramah, Safay, maybe from last year, maybe from 10 years ago. Who knows where it came from, right? Maybe it's last year, maybe it's this year's. And even if it's long, it's this year's. Maybe it had a shrush, maybe it took root before the Kerber Omer was brought. I mean, before the Saturday Pesach. Even though it's technically this year's grain, maybe it had a shrush and it's put there anyway. Comes the Shach on the spot and says on this Ramah, this is the absolute worst possible violation of Shem Echad. It means what you just said is either it's this year's or it's last year's. Either it's this year's or it's last year's. It's 800 times, it's the same suffering. So for that, I don't have an answer. But that Ramah is a tell of that Ramah, because the Chorah, that is a outright Shemiachot, and one Sof, it does make the slightest iota of difference in Halacha, whether it's 20 years ago's grain, or this year's grain with Hashrash before. They're both Mukhtar. So, okay, not the first one, not the last one to be involved in this Ramah. So there's some kind of a beer with the Ramah, not based on regular six figures, based on something else, Rome, but all kind of kunzim. But a part of this Yisrael that emanates from this rush, it becomes the source of the entire principle of halacha in your day, chelik aleph, about stam kalim. Now, really, it's the beginning of chelik beis, but it's aleph slash beis. becomes important in terms of chelik beis in terms of achas dida, becomes important in chelik gimel in terms of achas chalish and roshon, no matter, and even ezer in terms of less ishul abayla. So anywhere you go, anytime you deal with a sveik sveika, you have to always ask yourself, is it a bona fide sveik sveika? Is it a shem echad? Is it not a shem echad? How do you define the parameters of shem echad? So much of it has to do with this rush, which is always a response to our ginger. So we've got a curse of tov for the Indian ginger, because the Baruch Hashem, we've got two whole shiur, two whole singers out of it. We've got a little bit of vishlach, a little bit of gulek, and hopefully from next time we'll go back to regular Baruch Hashem.
That both examples of that were gam, right? Both Ben Yoma, and the case of, and the actual the movie itself, right?
The last chance of mind. So,
what if it's something that's not gam? Why don't we say maybe it's par? Why is that? Why does the third suffix have to? What I'm saying, why do we even need to come to?